Welcome to Words, Words, Words. This is your host, Robert Tinajero. On today's episode, I'll be talking about cussing, and I've had a previous episode about cussing, but on this episode, I'm going to combine cussing with science. And this podcast deals specifically with rhetoric and writing and communication, and so cussing plays an interesting role in our communication and in society. And I talked a little bit about that, like I said, in a previous episode. But today I wanted to bring in a little bit of science because I came across this new book and an interesting article. So first of all, the book I'm going to reference is by John McWhorter, who is a linguist. And the name of the book is Nine Nasty Words, English in the Gutter, Then, Now, and Forever. So once again, Nine Nasty Words by John McWhorter. And something I found really interesting in the introduction is he talks about how cuss words are different than normal words as far as how they function kind of in our brains. So I'm going to read a little bit from what he writes. So he put, but clearly cuss words aren't just words, like names of fruits or animals at the zoo. In terms of how we produce them in our brains, curses are indeed different from regular words like boy or run or already or nevertheless. In most people, language is generated on the left side of the brain, which is associated with logic, motor functions, the Apollonian realm of things. That's the side that lights up in a PET scan when we speak ordinary words and sentences. However, when we haul off with a curse word, it's parts of the right side of the brain that light up, specifically the areas associated with emotion and calibrating its cathartic expression. And this is part of the limbic system. The left hemisphere can be entirely removed, which yields two interesting results. The first result is that the person can remain alive, and there are such people that have survived the removal of parts of the left brain. The second is that they can no longer speak in terms of ordinary words and sentences, but can still cuss like sailors. Likewise, a person without a right brain can talk up a storm, but find themselves stymied when they try to use a swear word. Okay, and just in case you have kids with you and you don't want them to hear curse words, I'm about to say a couple of here as I continue to read from the book. So this means that when you yell shit or fuck, you are not simply uttering a regular word. Curses erupt from the more emotional, impulsive parts of our brains. They're more like squawks than they are simple labels. So I thought this was really interesting that we have kind of ordinary words, but then cuss words kind of play this different role. And so let me just read a few more sentences here. He writes, where we have the space to carefully assemble regular sentences, something like already or I'm going to the grocery store comes out. Meanwhile, we yell out fuck when it's time to run away from a lion. This is part of why curses can be so utterly disconnected from their technical meanings. When we yell shit, when we realize we forgot our phone somewhere, we are not liking anything to poop, right? Or when we yell fuck, we might yell that when we stub our toe. But certainly we're not talking about the sexual act. And so curse words are on the surface, right, regular words that we understand, but they can have such different meanings. But it is more about the situation and the context and the fact that our emotional part of our brain is the one kind of pushing us to use those words in certain situations. And this brings me to an article I found on Forbes.com. And the title of it is Swearing, the Fastest Acting Pain Reliever of Them All. And so I had heard about this before that, you know, when we stub our toe or get cut or something like that, and maybe we yell out shit or fuck, right? If it really hurts, that it can actually help our pain tolerance. But I had never read a specific article about it. And so let me read a little bit from this. And so once again, this is swearing the fastest acting pain reliever of them all from Forbes magazine. So repeating the F word increases our ability to tolerate pain. Scientists have proven the unique power of swearing by inventing fake obscenities and comparing them to the classics. So in the study, when people got hurt, they had them, you know, yell out words. The two examples here are twiz pipe and fouch, which are just kind of made up words. And when they yelled out these random words, they tolerated far less pain than when they yelled out fuck. And just a few years ago, scientists showed that using obscene language was actually a sign of intelligence, implying a greater mastery of vocabulary. An aptly timed swear word is like adding salt to a bland dish. It brings out the flavor. But who knew profanity could actually be good for us, especially when we get hurt? So swearing induces stress-related analgesia. About a decade ago, the first evidence surfaced that swearing, or the use of taboo language conveying connotative information, had pain-reducing effects. Past research has demonstrated that repeating a swear word helped people tolerate physical pain. It even helped decrease the social pain of being excluded. So I'm not going to read the rest of the article, but right, scientists have shown through experiments, through studying the brain, through studying pain and pain tolerance, that yelling a taboo word, like a curse word, like shit or fuck, actually helps us deal with that pain more than if we were just to yell out a regular word. And that kind of connects to what I read from the book, right? If the right side of our brain deals with emotion and dealing with emotion, right, when we, you know, we drop something heavier on our toe, right, we're having this emotion of anger and pain. And it's kind of interesting that if we yell a curse word, that that helps us deal with the pain in that moment. And so that in itself is really interesting. I want to go back to something I just read from this Forbes article where the author writes, an aptly timed swear word is like adding salt to a bland dish. It brings out the flavor. So that specifically isn't talking about pain tolerance and cussing, but it's talking about adding a cuss word. In my field, we talk about rhetorical situations where there are the different situations that we're communicating in. And within some situations, it makes sense, or for a lot of people, it makes sense to cuss or to not cuss. And so I could do a whole other episode specifically on that. And like I said, I had a previous episode where I talked a little bit about the rhetorical nature of cuss words. But I'm thinking about one specific example. So me as a teacher, I rarely cuss in front of my students just because, you know, I don't think that that's usually professional correct. But I do notice that if I do throw in a cuss word every once in a while, it kind of makes my students laugh a little bit and kind of makes them more comfortable. Because I think most people cuss. Some cuss all the time, some cuss a little bit, some, I think all of us, depending on the situation, we either never cuss or cuss a little bit or cuss a lot. I know for me, when I'm hanging out with good friends, there's a lot of cuss words flying around. But obviously, if like I'm in a job interview, I'm not going to cuss at all, probably. But teaching, I'm kind of in a middle area. Well, not totally middle, because most of the time I'm not cussing. But, you know, like I said, if I throw in a cuss word every once in a while, that has the effect on my audience, which is my students, of kind of, you know, I'd have to ask them exactly what it does, but it maybe makes me seem more relatable because most people cuss. And, you know, if they see their professor, you know, cussing once in a while for whatever reason, right? Obviously, I'm not going to cuss at a student, but let's say I'm giving a lecture and I say, you know, this shit is crazy, right? I'm probably going to get a lot of laughs, a lot of giggles, and that will help me make a connection to my student. So as I do with all my episodes, I want you all to think about, one, how often do you cuss? In what situations do you cuss? Do you tend to always cuss when you get hurt? Like if you hit your head somewhere, do you automatically cuss? Which cuss word do you use most often? Also, do you have friends or family members or coworkers or people you know that never ever cuss, right? Maybe they'll say darn or shoot, right? Instead of shit or fuck or all these other cuss words. Do you have people in your life that you think cuss too much, that they're constantly cussing and it kind of distracts from what they're trying to say? And so I hope you enjoy this episode, a little bit of science connecting our brain to cussing and thinking about pain tolerance and cussing. So hope you enjoy the episode. Hope you're enjoying this podcast in general. Please follow on social media, send me suggestions for episodes, and have a great day.